Reading from the Jivadharma, Chapter 3. The 12 qualities of Brahmanas are truthfulness, control of the senses, austerity, freedom from malice, modesty, tolerance, freedom from envy, sacrifice, charity, fortitude, studying the Vedas, and accepting vows. Brahmins endowed with these 12 qualities are certainly worthy of honor in this world. However, if a chandal, that means a dog eater, is a bhakta, he is superior to Brahmanas who possess these qualities but do not have Krishna bhakti. The purport is that a person who is born a chandala, who has been purified by the samskaras, impressions achieved through sadhu sangha, who is now engaged in the jiva's nitya dharma of pure spiritual cultivation, is superior to a Brahmin who is established in naimittika dharma, but who abstains from the nitya dharma, unavoid spiritual practice. Om jnana timanandasya jnananjana shalakaya taksulam mulitam yena As my Sri Gurave Namaha, Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam, Tapitam Yena Bhutale, Sayam Rupa Kadamayam, Dadati Sapadantikam, Vanchakalpa Kalubhyascha, Vipashin Dubhayevacha, Patitanam Bhavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasudevagaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from the Sand Falls, Iva Sand Falls, upstate New York. Little peace, quiet, regulation after the hectic New York. But now, remember, this Jivadharma is such a beautifully philosophically constructed book where all the tattvas or philosophical truths of Krishna consciousness are going to be delineated in a dialogue between this Paramahamsa Babaji, Premdas Babaji, who is living in a kunj, a forest bower, in Gojwandweep, an island in Navadweep, is at the highest level of devotional service, and the people who come to Krishna consciousness at that time, it's a generation after Lord Chaitanya, who have to have their doubts cleared. And according to one's doubts, the teacher has to be conversant in a particular tattva or philosophical truth of the tradition. So now, actually, not only Premdas Babaji, but now he has a very qualified disciple called Vaishnav Das. He used to be Sannyas Thakura, Mayavadi Sannyasi. And we're there in beautiful Gojwandweep in Mayapur, the island that represents Kirtan, actually. And this other group of Vaishnavas come, and they're joined by, I guess, someone who's in their sangha, who's a beautiful kirtan singer. He learned the science of ragas and chanting the various melodies, and from a very wealthy, learned, cultured, and aristocratic family. So in the middle of all the assembly, he asks the Vaishnavas there, why do the Vaishnavas give up the regular duties of a Brahmin? Why don't they always follow them? Premdas Babaji, not interested so much in argument and debate, debate and establishing himself, but also saying that he has a qualified disciple to do this service. He asked Vaishnav Das, the former Sannyas Thakur, to answer his question. And because Vaishnav Das is such a deep scholar from his training, now he's becoming conversant in the philosophy of bhakti, he answers his question in a very, very interesting way. He wants to explain these two terms, Naimittika Dharma and Nitya Dharma. Naimittika Dharma means duties that you have to purify you, but which are not eternal because they're based on your condition of bondage. And when you become liberated, they're no longer your duties. Or when you change your condition of bondage, a woman one life, a man the next life, a Brahmin one life, a Sudra the next life, a king one life, your duties change. So, in answer to the Brahmin's question, he's going to analyze this term that Nitya Dharma, the eternal duty, is the duty of the soul, because the soul never changes. Whether you change gender, whether you change nationality, change body, the duty of the soul never changes. And that's what real religion is. It's not a faith that's circumstantial to your cultural locus standi. It's the nature of your soul to love God. So what he explains, and what he's going to explain here and elucidate very clearly, that the term Nitya Dharma, when referred to the brahminical activities, chanting of the Gayatri and certain rituals, etc., they do, is called Nitya Dharma, but only a conventional way, because it's only Nitya Dharma in the sense, not that it's your eternal duty, but it's your everyday duty. Because even among karma, there's occasional karma, like there's festivals, you have said, there's marriage ceremonies, there's death ceremonies. So there's duties for occasion, and there's duties that you have every day. So the Brahmin's everyday duty is to, you know, these type of prayers, rituals that are every day, and these fit. So what he wants to explain is that actually, on a deeper sense, even the Brahmin's duties of chanting Gayatris and all these things are actually based on one's condition of bondage, which is a temporary situation. And therefore, they're not actually Nitya Dharma. They're not actually, they're purificatory activities. They may be adopted to help you get there, but they're not Nitya Dharma. That the real, the only real Nitya Dharma is to love God. And therefore, he's quoting these verses, that if there's a Brahmin and he may have all these wonderful qualities according to his dharma, but he's not a devotee, if he's not a devotee, then he's not superior to even a dog eater who's a devotee, but who's become purified by the samskaras achieved through sadhu sangha and is now engaged in the pure spiritual activity cultivation of the of spiritual practice, which is the serving Krishna. And this is why he's going to explain that a Vaishnava may not always do the duties of a Brahmin, because it's Naimittika Dharma. And what is Naimittika Dharma? it's meant, ultimately, it's meant to purify you so that you get to the point of realizing the soul. As I mentioned 1,000 times, because it's in Prabhupada's purport, the pure state of the living entity is called the devotee. Purification is meant to make you a devotee. And therefore, when you're engaged in the purificatory activity and also the goal of devotional service, then you serve all other purposes. And that's why in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 2nd chapter, there's that verse that just as all purposes served by the small ponds are served by the reservoir of water, similarly, all purposes of one who become Krishna conscious, all the other duties are automatically covered in pure devotional service, automatically. Devarshi Bhutapta Ninam Patrinam Nakinkare Nayan Rajan Sarvatna. I forgot the verse anyway. Devarshi Bhutapta Ninam Patrinam Nakinkare Nayan Sarvatna Rajan. Anyway. So it's just like if you're into some rehabilitation process. And, you know, maybe a spinal injury, but maybe they can help you to walk. So you're doing all kinds of exercises to get you to walk. But once you can walk, the only exercise itself becomes walking. You know, you may hold these parallel bars and go on a treadmill, and they may move your leg up and down, up and down. And so these are your duties, but the purpose of the duty is to walk. And as soon as the person can walk, then the walking itself serves all the purposes of all the other exercises. So similarly, there's so much Nainitika Dharma to help you to get to the point of Nitya Dharma, the eternal nature of the soul. But when you get to that point, then you have no other responsibilities and duties. Or if you have responsibilities and duties, they become connected to the Nitya Dharma. Like you may have duties as a married person. But then they become your service and devotional service and your responsibility. Because your family now are devotees who you are trying to bring to Krishna consciousness or trying to help nourish that. So we'll read on. So he's going to explain now. And I may read a little bit today because he can. It gets to such a beautiful point. There are two kinds of human beings in this world, those who are spiritually awake, Udita Vivek, and those who are spiritually unconscious, Anudita Vivek. Of course, you have to be very careful about that. Prabhupada said that a Vaishnava is better than even a Goswami, who is the topmost Brahmin. But if he's no longer following, he's not better than a Brahmin or Goswami. When we follow, yes, when we follow the practices of Krishna consciousness, it's so exalted. I'm thinking now a little bit about Ram Roy. He's doing this 6-hour kirtan in New York. I went out again. And there's nothing in his life but service to Krishna. He's ready to die on the battlefield. There's nothing else in his life. 6 hours a day kirtan, taking a little sleep, organizing the kirtan, chanting your rounds, and then out and bringing this up, setting up the place, and taking the place down, the whole thing. He's out to 8 hours. So in that, everything is covered. Of course, as long as you're following. Of course, you have to be very careful also as devotees that in the name of transcendence, we do not neglect our empathetic and moral responsibilities in this world. One time a Catholic priest was reading my books, came to see me and started reading all Prabhupada's books. And he said, where's the moral theology? Moral theology is a term in Catholicism for the training in basic morality, which may be neglected in just focusing on transcendence. Of course, what I explained to him is the moral theology was there so rich in the culture. And the Bhagavatam is mostly presenting transcendence with a view of that culture to people who are in that culture. So you have to be a little bit careful. But it says most people in this world are spiritually unconscious. Those who are spiritually awake are rare. Spiritually awake means what? You've come to the point of awakening the nature of the soul, which is Krishna consciousness. Until you do that, you're not awake. Because you haven't understood some bandhagan, fundamental conceptions of life that allow you to act according to yourself. Until you come to that, you may have all the brahminical qualities, but you are not udita vivek, spiritually awake, awakened with the proper conception. Of all those who are spiritually unconscious, the Brahmins are the best. And the Brahmins' nitya karma, such as sanya vadana, their Gayatri, is the best of all duties that are prescribed the different bodies. But when they become spiritually awake, then their responsibilities become what pleases Krishna at the time. Not that I have to chant this mantra at this time. And then he was talking about Radha Anuga Bhakti, where there's just a natural spontaneity. And out of that love, you may follow rules if that's how it pleases Krishna. But you're not bound to things at certain times at the level of Radha Anuga Bhakti. Another name for these, those spiritually awake, is Vaishnava. One time someone said to Prabhupada, oh, Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you're a Vaishnava. Prabhupada said, Vaishnava is not ordinary thing. Their behavior will necessarily be different from the behavior of those who are spiritually unconscious. Even so, the behavior of the Vaishnava is not opposed to the aim of the Smriti rules, the rules of the Shastra, which are prescribed in order to regulate people who are spiritually unconscious. They're the rules for people who haven't become devotees, the rules that will help them become devotees. The ultimate aim of all Shastra is one, Vedaischa sarvam aham eva vedyo Vedanta Veda Veda Chaham. Krishna says, of all the Vedas, I am to be known. The goal is to understand, have perfect discrimination, to see God and see yourself. Those who are spiritually unconscious are bound to a particular portion of the stark and rudimentary injunctions of Shastra. So when you're bound, according to the nature of your bondage, you are prescribed certain rules and regulations. You're prescribed certain, so the prescription is according to your condition, just like a doctor. He gives medicine according to the condition. But if you're spirit healthy awake, or you're no longer ill, then you no longer have those prescriptions. For those who are spiritually ache receive the underlying essence of Shastra as an intimate friend. These two groups of people perform different activities, but their aim is the same. Their aim is to become spiritually awake. But one is spiritually awake and he wants to become more spiritually awake, and one is spiritually unawake and his objective is to become spiritually awake. So their goal is the same. But their activities are different. So the activities and rules of the Brahmin don't absolutely apply to the Vaishnava, who's spiritually awake. Ineligible people may think that the behavior of those who are spiritually awake is opposed to the behavior of people in general, but in reality, the fundamental aim of these different patterns of behavior is the same. So those who are performing the Brahmin duties, which are now called Naimittika Dharma, their goal is Naimittika Dharma. That's the goal of the Shastras. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavamam papadyate vasudeva savamiti samahatma sudurva. After many, many years, the jnani, he becomes spiritually awake. That's the goal. From the viewpoint of those who are spiritually awake, people in general are eligible for instructions regarding Naimittika Dharma. By Naimittika Dharma, however, is in essence incomplete, adulterated, impermanent, and openly fit to be rejected. Because it's not based on the soul, and therefore, in the discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy, when Lord Chaitanya asked Ramananda Roy for the essence of the Shastras, the verse that every verse that Ramananda Roy quoted, until he came to the verse which describes just sitting at the lotus feet of a pure devotee and hearing Harikatha, which is the nature of the soul to hear about God and to speak about God. Until he came to that point, Lord Chaitanya kept on, after Ramananda Roy gave one verse after another, Lord Chaitanya kept on saying, Eho Baya, that's external. External to what? To the nature of the soul. Naimittika Dharma is not direct spiritual practice. Rather, it consists of temporary material activities that are taken up to attain pure spiritual practices. Hence, it is merely the means to the end. The means is never complete because its function ceases when it has produced the end. Therefore, it is simply a phase in the achievement of the final goal. Consequently, Naimittika Dharma is never complete. And now he's going to directly answer the question. For example, the Brahmin's chanting of Sandhya Vadana, his Gayatri mantras, like his various other duties, is temporary and subject to specific rules. These activities do not stem from his natural spiritual proclivity. If after performing these prescribed duties for a long time, one obtains the association of Shuddha Bhaktis, pure devotees, Sadhu Sangha, one develops ruchi, taste, harinam. At that time, Sandhya Vadana is no longer, that's again the Gayatri mantras, a circumstantial prescribed karma. Harinam is completely spiritual practice, whereas Sandhya Vadana, the regular prayers and other such practices, are only the means to obtain this principal goal and never can be the complete reality. See, he's explaining this to this Brahmin who had the assumption and the gumption that the Vaishnavas were not performing their duties. And he clarified, yeah, we're not always, because the duties that you are of a Brahmin are not duties in relationship to the soul. They're duties in relationship to the particular material condition that one has at the time. However, Naimittika Dharma is, okay. For example, a Brahmin's chanting of Sandhya Vadana, okay, it's temporary, it's subject to specific rules. These activities do not stem from his specific natural spiritual proclivity. The Brahmin chants Gayatri, the Vaishnav chants Gayatri. Of course, with an understanding of the personality of Godhead. So both are chanting. The Brahmin's chanting is not from his desire to love God. If after, at that time, Sandhya Vadana, when he meets a pure devotee and develops Ruchi Paharinam, Naimittika Dharma is commendable because it aims at the truth, but it is eventually meant to be abandoned, and it is mixed with undesirable results. Only spiritual reality is truly beneficial. Because the Brahmin, the tendency is for them to think that they're better than others. Because Brahmanism is not concentrating on the soul. It's concentrating on cultivating the mode of goodness. Although the jiva, the living entity, should relinquish matter and its association, materialism is prominent in Naimittika Dharma. Moreover, Naimittika Dharma produces such an abundance of irrelevant results that the jiva cannot help but get entangled in them. So, this Naimittika Dharma, it can foster materialism. This is not about love, it's about rituals. And you can easily, when you have rituals and you know mantras, then you can easily think that you're better than others or even more realized than others. For instance, a Brahmin's worship of Ishvara is beneficial, but he is apt to think, I am a Brahmin and others are inferior to me. The result of such false egoism that his worship yields detrimental results. Another example is that an insignificant result of practicing the Eightfold Yoga system is the attainment of mystic powers, which are most inauspicious for the jivas. Because they're material powers, and powers enable you to control. and therefore they enable you to conform the world to some extent to your desires. Which easily can foster within one the consciousness that I am the controller and I am the enjoyer, and that happiness is the control of the world to conform to our desires. And you can become allured by the fruits of the mystic yoga process, which is these mystic powers. The two unavoidable companions of Naimittika Dharma are mukti, liberation, and bhukti, material enjoyment. There's a tinge of selfishness, and bhakti has no tinge of selfishness. Bhakti has no tinge of envy. The Bhagavatam, which presents bhakti so clearly, the second verse clearly says, Dharma Kaitavo Rojita Krane Matsuranasitam. Dharma Kaitavo, it doesn't have this kind of religion and prayer and ritual. Helps to promote you in the material world. Rather, the Bhagavatam says, Nirmatsarana-sitam, it's for devotees who don't have that impetus. But the jiva must save himself from the clutches of mukti and bhukti is to attain his real objective, which is the culture of pure spiritual reality, chit anushilana. Consequently, the Nimittika Dharma entails much that is contemptible for the jivas. This what's auspicious for the jivas is the sense of humility, service, and love. And so easily, the one who practices religion without this spiritual objective of becoming fully spiritually awake, because one is not aware what that means, can easily become allured. Naimittika Dharma is impermanent, for it does not apply at all times or in all circumstances. For instance, a Brahmin's priestly duties, a Kshatriya's administrative or military duties, and other such circumstantial occupations are brought about by a particular cause. And when they cease when this cause ceases. If a Brahmin takes birth as a chandala in his next life, the brahminical occupational duties are no longer his swadharma. I'm using the word swadharma, own duty, in a figurative sense here. The Naimittika swadharma of the jiva changes in every birth. The nitya dharma remains the same, never changes. The jiva's true swadharma is nitya dharma, while Naimittika dharma is impermanent. We're going to get back to the storyline, so just bear with me for like another page. One may ask, what is Vaishnava Dharma? The answer is that Vaishnava Dharma is the jiva's nitya dharma. When the Vaishnava, the jiva, is liberated from matter, he nurtures Krishna praying in his pure spiritual form. Before that stage, when the Vaishnava is still materially abound, although spiritually awakened, he only accepts objects and associations that are favorable for his spiritual practice, and he rejects all that is unfavorable. So this is the conclusion. Thus, he never adheres blindly to the rules and prohibitions of the Shastra. He accepts the instructions and prohibitions of the Shastra graciously, but only when they are favorable to this practice of Hari Bhajan. When they are unfavorable, he immediately rejects them. One of the six impediments to bhakti mentioned by Srila Rupa Goswami is Niyamagraha. And it's a Sunday, it's a conjunction of two words, Niyama Agraha and Niyama Agraha. One means too much, not enough attention to the rules is an impediment to bhakti, to not, when you don't have spontaneous attraction, to not regulate your life by the dictations of the Shastra. So that's an impediment. It's also an impediment to just follow the rules of the Shastra just for the sake of following them when they do not facilitate the awakening of Krishna consciousness. And we may all fall prey to that. A Vaishnava is the world's only true friend, and he renders auspiciousness for all jivas of all the world. Now I have humbly submitted whatever I have to say in the assembly of Vaishnava. Kindly excuse me for my faults and offenses. So now let's just read now what happened. So you saw that the Brahmin, he posed this question, why doesn't the Vaishnava follow certain duties? And Sannyas Thakur, now Vaishnav Das, beautifully elucidates that the ultimate duty is to serve God. And all other duties are meant to bring you to that point so that you want to do it. And when you have that desire to serve God, then you are only obligated to the circumstantial duties when they facilitate your service to God, and when they don't, you're not obligated to them. Whereas before you come to that point, then you're obligated to all the rules and regulations. Having thus spoke, Vaishnav Das offered Shashtanga Pranam to the assembled Vaishnavas and sat off to one side. So he fell down like a rod. By this time, the eyes of the Vaishnavas had filled with tears, and they all exclaimed in unison, Sadhu, Sadhu, Bhadram Te, Bhadram Te. Well done, well done. The groves of Godrum echoed these words in response. The Brahmin singer who had asked the question could see the profound truth of the many topics presented in the discussion. Some doubts had arisen on certain points, but the seed of faith in Vaishnava Dharma had been significantly nourished in his heart. So this is what happens with Sadhu Sangha. When you have doubts and you don't have understanding, and they can elucidate very, very clearly through your own frame of reference, clearly what God has spoken through the sacred texts, it puts such a samskara, the consciousness of prema, the faith that the highest thing is to serve Krishna. And so somehow or other, he had some faith to come into the association of devotees, but some kind of misconceptions were covering his faith. And now he raised that question, even in a challenging way. And Vaishnav Das completely elucidated the point. So he was humbled and he folds his hands, and we learn in this text the beauty and sweetness of Vaishnava dealings. so this Brahmin Singha folded his hands and said, "Oh great soul, I am not a Vaishnav, but I'm becoming a Vaishnav by continuously hearing Harinam. If you will instruct me, all my doubts may be dispelled." Now, Prem Das Paramahamsa Babaji then says to this person, "From time to time you may associate with this Sriman Vaishnav Das. He is a scholar who is learned in all the Shastras. Previously he lived in Varanasi, where he accepted sannyas after studying the Vedanta Shastras deeply with Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who is the dearmost Lord of our hearts, displayed unlimited mercy and attracted him here to Sri Navadvip. Now he is fully conversant with all the truths of Vaishnava philosophy. He's also developed profound love for Harinam." The man who had asked the question was named Sri Kalidas Lahari. On hearing Babaji Mahasaya's words, he accepted Vaishnav Das within his heart as guru. He thought, Vaishnav Das was born in a Brahmin family, and he accepted the sannyas ashram, so he's fit to instruct the Brahmin. Besides, I have witnessed his extraordinary scholarship in the Vaishnav truth. I can learn much about Vaishnav Dharma from him. Thinking in this way, Lahari Mahasai offered Dandavat Pranam at Vaishnav Das lotus feet and said, "O great soul, kindly bestow your mercy upon me." Vaishnav Das offered Dandavat Pranam in return and responded, "If you bestow your mercy on me, I will be successful." As evening drew near, everyone returned to their respective places. Okay, so that finishes that tatsa. We're going to get into a beautiful truth the next time, too. Would anyone else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gail.
Anybody like to say hello?
Hare Krishna.
Okay, I heard Gail. Any questions?
Oh, thank you, Maharaj. I think I'm good.
Oh, great. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna.
Okay, we're going to plan that function next week. I'll get back to you in a few days. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay. Alexandra, if you're still there, I may call you in just a few minutes, too. Just for a couple of minutes. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? It will end for today. I'm also somehow at the end of the day. Sometimes I get tired. So, believe it or not, I was falling asleep as I was speaking sometimes, but somehow it came out. Okay, Hare Krishna. Once you call for two, just start to listen to me.